True. All right, I think I'm on. Very good. How are we doing?
Great.
Are you guys doing good?
Yes, sir.
Are you excited?
Absolutely.
I am ready. I'm on the edge of my seat, right? I just want to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
I came anticipating. Did you?
Yes.
All right, good. We got you a piece of paper. We got it to you. Our covenant confession of the word. I believe this. We have to be people of the word. If you're going to be a city taker, you have got to meditate on the word day and night. You got to hide it in your heart. Why? Because it's a living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword word. So we have to be a people of the word. Why? Because if we live in a world, people begin to say, well, this is who God is. This is who Jesus is. But we all could kind of give our own impression of who Jesus is. So there has to be something that actually says this is who Jesus is. And we believe this is it. We believe the scriptures are for the express purpose to reveal the living word.
Amen.
We believe that, right?
Amen.
So I love how that one guy, which I'm not telling you who he is, but the one guy says the scriptures are the holy transcripts of his soul. Oh, I love that. All right, me and one other person love it. But okay, let's, all right, the rest of you are sure. Okay, it's okay. So let's try to read this together. This is always ends up awkward, but let's read this together because I want you to decree with your mouth what you're saying. Because you realize you believe about 99% of what you say. Did you know that? I don't know what happens to the 1%. I'm always going to ask my sister that, but she tells me that as a psychologist. She says, listen, you believe 99% of what comes out of your mouth. So you begin to speak it out loud because then you begin to hear your own voice and you actually believe it. So you're going to come into agreement with it, right? Are you ready? Let's do it. Okay, let's try to read it together. All right, 1, 2, 3. Father God, I thank you that your word is right and all your work is done in truth. God, I thank you for the Logos. I thank you for the expressed and spoken word by interpretation. I thank you for sound doctrine. I thank you for the Rhema word of God. I thank you that you have anointed me to command the Rhema word of God. It will take feet and become the word in action because of the greater one who is inside me. I am a child of the King, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, because I am in covenant with God and with my brothers and sisters, what I speak shall come to pass. Lord, I thank you for your chronicles. I thank you for your commandments. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for communicating with your people. I thank you for the conference of the Lord. Thank you for the counsel of the Lord, which will bring me forth in power, promise, provision, and purpose. God, I hide your word in my heart. I delight myself in your word. I will not forget your word. I will observe your word, hearing it, receiving it, loving and obeying it. Forever, Lord, your word is established in the heavens. My destiny is connected to that. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Order my steps, O God, in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. I make covenant with the word of God, and I break covenant with death, hell, and the grave. Lord, I thank you that your word is pure, your word is tried and well refined. I am your servant, and I love it. I love your word. I eat your word for breakfast. I eat your word for lunch. I eat your word for dinner. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We made it. You did a good job. I kind of read through the commas, but that's okay. I always had a problem with English anyways, right? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. I want to take you into Joshua chapter 3 tonight. I really, really, really want to get into the point where we can actually begin to take ground in the city. I want to get there, but we're not there yet. I keep asking the Lord, let's go. And he says, wait, bring him along. So this might be the last time I preach this type of message. And then we're going to start diving into some stuff where we can begin to decree and declare over what God's doing in our city. Okay. And I want to begin to show you some of that. But tonight, I got to take you into Joshua chapter 3 because you never can be victorious over a city until you're victorious over your own life.
Amen. That's right.
And it has really nothing to do with you being victorious because it's not about how hard you try. It's literally about the sole of your feet. It's this idea that I'm living in submission and surrender and humility to God, and I'm sold out to Him, and He has every area of my life, and I'm in a posture of humility. And God says, when you're in a posture of humility, Joshua, you will tread on the enemy. And what would it look like if each one of us were walking in that reality? So tonight, we're going to come into Joshua chapter 3, and I want to talk to you about something that may make you a little uncomfortable. So look at your neighbor and say, you might be uncomfortable tonight. Look at your other neighbor and say, you'll be fine. No, just kidding. Don't say that. You'll be fine, right? No, don't do that. Probably shouldn't do that. Okay, so let's go into Joshua chapter 3. We're jumping into the story of the crossing of the Jordan. Give you some context. Remember, we are not preaching Joshua just from a historical perspective, right? This is more than a history lesson. As a matter of fact, I was telling a young lady today that Joshua really is a picture of Jesus. And if Jesus had a Hebrew name, it would be Joshua, Yeshua, which is the same name Joshua had. We translate it into English, but Yeshua and Yeshua, Joshua's in the Old Testament, Jesus is a picture of the new, right? So this is not just a historical perspective. This is a spiritual reality where you and I can live. Okay? So let's dive in. Joshua 3, starting verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Achaia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet you shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. And it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, one of my favorite verses, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Amen.
Oh, let's read that one again.
Yes.
Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Jesus, whoo, truly believe you're miraculous. Oh, I truly believe you still do wonders today. I truly believe you open blind eyes. I truly believe you heal diabetes. I truly believe that you heal hearts. I truly believe you heal high blood pressure. I truly believe that you heal feet. I truly believe you heal backs. I truly believe that you take the heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh, which is the most phenomenal miracle that can happen in mankind. I believe it.
Yes.
But come on, God, we got to sanctify ourselves. We can't really even sanctify ourselves. We need you to sanctify us. Because the old covenant was all about do it yourself, but the new covenant is Jesus. You are the fire of the Holy Spirit, and you come and you sanctify us and you baptize us in the love and you baptize us with fire, because fire purifies and sanctifies, and we can't do it. We can't pull it off, but we need Jesus, you to do it tonight, to release your Holy Spirit over us and wash over us afresh and anew. May the fire of God fall afresh and anew. May the enemies of the Lord be driven from his presence. May the enemy of the Lord melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, and may the fire of God fall fresh and anew upon us tonight, God. That's what we're crying for. Have it your way, God. We love you. Oh, we're in tonight. And Jesus will say yes. That's our only job, is to say yes to you. Not to resist you, not to say no, but we're going to say yes to whatever you say. In your name I pray. Amen. So we're diving into the book of Joshua. A little bit of review. Remember the review. Joshua, not a historical perspective, although it did happen. We believe it. But it's a spiritual reality of where we're headed even today. Remember, there's transition happening. There's a transition in leadership. You had Moses for 40 years doing the same things, resolving the same conflict. You knew how he was going to operate. For 40 years, they got comfortable with Moses. Could you imagine having a pastor for 40 years? Some of you are like, woo! Some of you are like, uh-uh. Anyways, that's no reflection, right? But 40 years, you would get comfortable. You would know how they're going to respond. You would get comfortable in that leadership. But now there's a shift to Joshua, who's this young buck, this young guy coming up. We don't know anything about Joshua. How's he going to respond to conflict? How is he going to deal with situation? Who knows? The only thing we know is he never leaves the tent of the presence. That's the only thing we know about him. So there's a major shift or transition happening. There's not just a transition in leadership, there's a transition in location. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They got familiar with the wilderness. Ah, they got familiar with the hot springs. Oh, they got familiar with the rocks. Hey, they got familiar with where they set up their tents because, hey, their bodies were in the sand and they were engraved, so they knew right where to set up their tents. And they had got comfortable with the wilderness. They got comfortable with subpar of what the actual promise was. And so now God is saying, hey, you're not going to live in the wilderness anymore. Hey, you're changing locations. You're going into a land that you've never seen before. It's all new. It's a new land. It's new scenery. It's new locations. And my promise to you is you are going to eat from the land and you're not going to have to produce anything yourself. It's a promised land. So there's a change there. And there's also a change, get this, there's also a change in the generations. The old generation is dying. God himself said, you're not going to see the promised land. Even Moses died on the mountain. Why? Because they grumbled and complained. They really didn't believe all that God had for them, and they were going to settle short. So there's this change in a generation. And not only is there a change in the generation, but this generation is moving into the promised land, and we know they're young. They're under 40, okay? And I'm going to say 42 because I'm 42. So, yeah, they know they're young, 42 and under. Sorry for anybody who's 43. Anyways, just kidding. So we know they're young. They're a young generation. Oh, they haven't had any training. I mean, I'm sure they were training them, but there's a generation that's rising, and the older generation has to take everything that they have, and they've got to give it to the next generation because they're the ones who are going into the promised land. Oh, let me say that again. The older generation has to give them everything they need because they're going into the promised land and they're going into something that's greater and better, and their anointing is going to go farther than the previous generation. And you realize that's okay because that's the way God created it. What if I told you every generation gets more anointed? Because the evil is increasing. So you think God's going to say, oh, I'm going to let evil increase on the earth, but I'm not going to pour out my anointing on the generation? I would contend with you, every generation gets more anointed. And that's why the enemy is after this generation, because this generation is actually going to lead us into the promised land. They're going to take cities because they're anointed. Hence why abortion is so reprehensible to God, because the enemy's trying to snuff out the anointing of a generation. And guess what? Oh, this is just fun. Can I tell you something? Guess the first place they take. Do you remember? First place Joshua and the Israelites take. Do you remember? Jericho. What's so significant about Jericho? Oh, let me tell you. Glad you asked. Jericho had founded the city on the sacrifice of babies. And they had taken the slain babies, and they had put them in the fire, and they had melted them in the bones, and they actually had put them in jars, and they actually put them in the walls of Jericho. So God said, I'm breaking down your walls. And not one brick stood against God because of how they have founded Jericho. And God says, you're not allowed to touch anything in Jericho because it's all defiled.
Right.
Because it was founded on the blood of babies. Which is really interesting for America. We will never experience revival until we get rid of the blood that's on our hands. So we must see abortion overturned. And it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm telling you, you can't stop him. And the more we pray, the more it's coming.
Yes, let's do it. Pray.
Anyways, I got to get back on track. Okay, so now we're moving. You got Joshua 1. And remember, one of the characteristics of a city taker is, one, you have an inheritance. Look at your neighbor and say, I have an inheritance. Look at your other neighbor and say, I have a spiritual inheritance. That's the first thing he tells them about the land. Okay? Some of you are excited about the inheritance, right? You're like, woo! Anyways. Second thing, you know what he tells Joshua? You're going to be a city taker. Be strong and courageous. He tells him 4 times in chapter 1. The second thing he tells him is, if you're going to be a city taker, you have to meditate on the law day and night. You have to. Why? Because you're going into the enemy's ground. You're going into the enemy's battle. There's going to be confusion. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. And if you don't know the word of God, if you don't know truth, you're going to settle for a lie. You're going to settle for deception. Why? Because you're taking ground from the enemy, and the enemy doesn't like to lose ground. And so there's going to be this all kinds of confusion, all kinds of things that are going to try to come against you. But if you have the helmet of salvation and you have the belt of truth, Ephesians chapter 6, if you have the belt of truth buckled around your waist, which is your identity, you'll never fall into that confusion and all that junk. So he says to Joshua, meditate on the word day and night. Breathe it in, breathe it out. Breathe it in, breathe it out. And when they quoted the scriptures, they literally, in their breath, would breathe out the word. Like, they would quote the word, and they would breathe it out, and then they would breathe it in. And they were constantly meditating on it. If you and I are going to actually take ground in this area, we're going to have to meditate on the word of truth. We're going to have to know who we are. We're going to have truth flowing in and out of our lives. Third thing he says is, do not be dismayed. No violence is going to come up against you. Two things. Whenever you take ground from the enemy, violence, and the word violence actually has this idea to attack the mind. When you begin to take ground from the enemy is going to attack your mind. And it's not going to be subtle. It's going to be like violent. Right? But you don't have to fear. Why? Be strong and courageous. Because God's with you. You're meditating on the word. So when it comes, you're like, oh, I'm not listening to that voice. I know the voice of the Lord. And I continue to breathe that in and out. Breathe that in and out. And I pull down the weapon of violence that he's trying to bring against my mind.
Help us.
Do you realize America is the most medicated and addicted nation ever? That's just interesting. So violence in your mind. And then fear. Have you ever been to McDonald's? And God says, hey, I want you to minister to this person. And all of a sudden, fear. No, don't do that. What do people think of you? Well, first, folks, you're at McDonald's. Never mind. Just kidding. We got Chick-fil-A. That's the Lord's chicken, right? Lord's chicken. Unless the Lord's chicken. That's right. It is. I love Chick-fil-A. But, I mean, I'm just kind of being funny. But have that ever happened to you? Like, God tells you to do something, and all of a sudden, boom, fear. Why? Because you're on the enemy's territory. And he's about ready to lose, and he's scared to death of you. Because the Spirit of the living God's inside of you. So be strong and courageous. Why? Because whatever he told you, he's going to do it. You don't have to worry about it. Just say yes, and let him use you. Because in those moments, God's going to move. So listen to fear. Be strong and courageous. Look at your neighbor and say, be strong and courageous. Okay, good. We got to get into tonight's lesson. That's all just introduction. We'll get there. Chapter 3. So chapter 2, just want to tell you, catch you up to chapter 3. Chapter 2 is all about him sending 2 spies into Jericho. And you know, remember the story, Rahab and the spies and the king. So interesting. The king comes, says, hey, I heard that the spies are here. She hides the spies. They come back. They say, hey, surely God has given us the land. Surely God's given us the land. So then you come into chapter 3. So now they're coming to the Jordan. Okay, so now think about this. They're still in the wilderness, okay? They're still here over in the wilderness. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been wandering in a very specific way. And they're coming up to the Jordan River. And we know that the Jordan River is at flood stage. So we know that you can't cross the Jordan River. It's impossible because it's at flood stage. And over the Jordan River is the promised land. So we know the Israelites have to go from wilderness to promised land. So Joshua begins to cry out to God. And Joshua is crying out to God. And it says this. So it was after 3 days that the officers went to the camp. So the people gather together and they're getting ready to cross over. And Joshua is crying out for 3 days. Why? Because Joshua does not want to lead the people into anything without divine strategy. How cool would it be if we as a church waited upon the Lord and he gave us divine strategies to move forward?
Yes,
so that's what he does for 3 days, divine strategy. And then he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, do you remember what the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was? Gold, big gold box. Think big gold box, but also think the presence of God. It was the very presence of God, and it contained the Shekinah glory. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones? It contained the glory. It really did. It really contained the glory of God. And so is the presence of God. Now, it wasn't all the presence of God. Because why? Because God's huge. He can't be confined to a box or a temple. But it contained part of his presence. It was the presence of God. And so the presence of God is there. Now, you got to get this. The presence of God is there. And in the wilderness, do you remember how did Moses and the Israelites be led? By his presence. Even more specifically, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Guess what? The cloud disappears. It doesn't come back. There's a new way that they're going to be led. Joshua is bringing people from the wilderness into the promised land. The Ark of the Covenant was the very presence of God. And he says this, watch and see when the priest bear, you shall see them set out from your place and go after it. Give it 2,000 cubits of measurement. So you got to see that the presence of God is there, and the Levites were the ones responsible for carrying the presence. The priests were responsible for carrying the presence. The priests were responsible for carrying the presence. And guess what God calls you in the New Testament? Priest! Not just pastor, priest! Revelation says, you're priests, all of us! But we're not paying you. But anyways, you're priest. You're priest. And the priest was responsible for carrying the presence. And he says, give 2,000 feet perimeter around the presence. Why? Because no one can touch the presence of God. We were not created to touch the glory of God. And when man tries to touch the glory of God, it always ends in disaster. You and I were not created to touch the glory of God. What if God could move on our church and we don't touch his glory? We say, listen, it's not us, it's God. So there's 2,000 feet. So the priests are carrying the Ark of the Presence for and there's 2,000 cubits by measure. They said, do not come near it, that you may know by the way you must go, for you have not passed here before, okay? Now, there's one story in the story of the wilderness, which I didn't know this, but there's one story in the story of the wilderness where Moses has the ark lead them. And it's Numbers chapter 10, okay? So flip back there with me. I want to walk you through the story real quick because I want you to see this, okay? I just want you to see this. Oh, we're doing good on time, okay? Numbers chapter 10. Oh, you're gonna love this. Listen to this, which I never even knew the story. Now Moses, Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Oh, this is so cool. Now Moses said to Hobab, which is an awesome name, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for a place which the Lord said, I will give you. Come with us and we'll treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. He said, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my own relatives. Moses said, please do not leave inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness and you can be our eyes. And it shall be for you to go with us. Indeed, it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same he'll do to you. So Moses says to his father-in-law, hey, don't leave. Don't go anywhere. Why? Because the presence of God is with us and you'll be blessed by the presence of God that's with us. And so Hobab, or whatever his name is, decides, yeah, that's a good idea. Now notice verse 33. This is the story. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of how many days?
3 days.
How many days did Joshua sit in the camp?
3 days.
How many days did Jesus sit in the tomb?
3 days.
Might be significant. So listen to this. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days, journeying to search out a resting place for them. So this is the only time that I could find in the scriptures where the ark of the covenant comes down from the mountain and the ark of the covenant is looking for a resting place. And notice what it says. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said this. Why does the ark of the Lord go before them? Why was it so important for the presence of God to go before them? Listen why. Every time the ark set out for 3 days, he says this. Rise up, O Lord. Let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you flee before you. Oh, you look excited. Stay right there. But I'm going to turn to you. He's quoting a psalm. He's actually quoting Psalm 68. And listen to what Psalm 68 says. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him. Now, those who hate God. So this is not sinners who don't know God. This is not ignorance. This is witchcraft. This is a cult. This is people who have chosen not to serve God, but the God of this age. And they know it, and they hate God because they have the very nature of the enemy. And listen to what he says to him. Let those who hate him flee before him. A smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. So every time, you got to get this picture. Every time Moses sets the ark out to look for a rest, Moses cries out to God, says, rise up, O Lord, scatter your enemies. What if the fight isn't yours? See, what if you were never created to fight the enemy? What if the presence of God that goes before you, the presence of God that you contain, fights the enemy for you? And it's not really even a fight. They melt like wax in the presence of God. So there's no resistance when the presence of God is there. And so listen to what he says in Numbers 10. So they go out. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. So Moses says, hey, only one time I saw in the Old Covenant with Moses that the Ark of the Covenant went out and the Ark of the Covenant looked for a resting place. But the purpose of the Ark of the Covenant going out is because of the presence of God. And when the presence of God goes, literally the enemies of God have to bow. The enemies of God who stand opposed against him will literally melt like wax in the presence of God.
Amen.
You're going to need to know that. Because you got a lot of enemies. There's a lot of enemies in this area. But I want to tell you, the presence of God, they melt like wax.
Amen.
You can get excited about that. It's okay. Because God's fighting for you. Oh, that's so good. All right. So come back to Joshua 3. So the presence, y'all, you got to get this picture. He says, 3 days. 3 days. You're going to go across the river. Don't touch the ark. There's going to be these Levites who carry the presence across the river. Whenever the presence of God goes before, it's for a very specific purpose. It is fighting the enemies of God. Then notice what he says. And Joshua said to the people, okay, we're going in to battle. Look at me. You are in a war.
That's right.
We are in a war. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we're in a war.
Yes, we are.
We're wrestling, flesh and blood. We're in a battle. And what are we fighting for? Souls.
Amen.
What are we fighting for? Cities. What are we fighting for? Land. What are we fighting for? Inheritance that is ours. We're in a battle. See, this is not just, well, we're going to go through life. Oh, I had a good life. Oh, I had a bad. No, you are in a war. But God goes before you.
Amen.
And the presence of God lives inside of you.
Yes.
And when he lives inside of you, there's not much of a battle. So notice what he says. Joshua said to the people, sanctify
Amen.
Yourselves. Why? Because you're going into battle.
Mm-hmm.
What does the word sanctify mean?
Purify.
Set apart.
Set apart. Purify. It's the idea of consecrate. Sanctify is where we get our word sanctification. And what does sanctification mean? Sanctification means that God comes and God does a brand new work in me. And my heart has been bent towards sin. My heart has bent towards fall and rebellion. But now God has come and God has purified my heart. And now my heart is bent towards his. I have eyes to see as he sees. I have ears to hear as he hears. I have hands to touch as he touches. I have feet to go as he calls and commands. And my heart is pure before the Lord. And I am sanctified. And in the Old Testament, they had to sanctify themselves. And in the Old Testament, they had a list of things that they had actually had to do to be sanctified. But why do you think, now think about this, why do you think they needed to sanctify themselves?
Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been pulled out yet.
The Holy Spirit hadn't been pulled out. Also, do you realize they're going into battle? And they're fighting not just physical wars, they're fighting a spiritual battle. And if they weren't cleansed by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you realize the enemy had access into their life? And so Joshua says, listen, you need to be sanctified. You need to be purified. You need to set yourself apart in what God has called us to right now, because they didn't know the New Testament yet. So what God's called us to right now, you need to check your heart. You need to make sure there's nothing inside of you. Why? Because you're going into battle. And if you have anything in your life, any type of sin, you will not be victorious in the battle, because it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And if you have any open doors or any open windows, the enemy's going to come in like a flood and you're not going to be victorious. Victorious. You actually lose people. You would say, well, where do you see that? Oh, well, Joshua chapter 7. Look at this. Joshua chapter 7. You guys remember this, right? Yeah. The defeat at Ai. They go, you remember this? Story? Let's give you an illustration. They go into battle. They defeat Jericho. Very strict instructions. Don't take anything. Why? Because it's all undefiled. So they had strict instructions. Don't touch anything. Don't take anything. Let it burn. Don't touch it. So they go to Ai. Ai is a small town. So they said, hey, we just took down Jericho. So we only need to send a few. So they send just a few soldiers. Well, what happens is when they send those soldiers, guess what happens? They got routed. Thank you, Jesus. I need to write that down. That's good. I'll put my hand in the Bible. I'll remember. They got routed. Right? They got routed. Why? Because there was one man named Achan. There's always one. There was one man named Achan who took gold. And so the soldiers come back and said, listen, we got defeated. We got slaughtered. What if I told you your sin affects all those around you? Sin is personal in choice, communal in effect. Sin is personal in choice, communal in effect. And so Joshua falls down before the presence and says, what in the world happened, God? So you didn't call me in this land to have the enemies defeat me. And God wakes him up and says, start calling tribes. And it's crazy because he starts calling this tribe, and then he, you know, gets like a little more, and then a little more specific, and a little more specific, a little more specific, a little more specific. And he ends at Achan. And he looks at Achan and says, you've got sin. There's sin in the camp. Whenever there's sin in the camp, you can't be effective.
That's right.
Whenever you choose to sin, you're not going to be effective in your world. Mm-hmm. You have no victory because there's sin in the camp. And I would say one of the reasons we're not effective in their city is because as a church, we haven't really sanctified ourselves. Yeah. I have no problems with sinners coming into our church. I want them. And you know what I expect them to do? Sin. That's why we call them sinners. But what I don't expect people to do, who are sons and daughters of God, to live in sin.
That's right. Amen.
That is different. God expects nothing less of a sinner but sin.
That's right.
So I don't have to look at a sinner and be like, why are you sinning? It's my title. This is what I do. And I'm very gracious and kind and say, hey, you can live above that. Come on. I love you. Meet eyes with my Savior. Come on. He loves you too. He already forgave you. Don't even worry about it. Let's go. His blood paid the price.
Right, right.
But in the church, sin's a big deal.
That's right.
In the community, it was a big deal.
That's right.
And one man's sin affected the entire Israelite army. Think about that.
Right.
Do you realize the gravity of sin?
Right.
One man's sin affected entire Israelite. And there's 3 million people.
Right, right.
One man's sin. There's one man who didn't sanctify himself. And because there was one man who didn't sanctify himself, when the Israelites went into war, they lost the battle.
Right.
And so he comes to Achan. And notice what he says, verse 13. God says, get up, sanctify the people again. What's the idea of sanctification? Sanctification, the power of God comes and purifies and cleanses me from sin. And he cleanses me from the very nature of sin. And he cleanses me from the acts of sin. And he cleanses me and sanctifies me and gives me a pure heart and clean hands as I've been sanctified by the presence of God. And the fire of God burns and purifies my life. And he tells the people, sanctify again. Sanctify the people. Why? Sanctify for yourself. Why? Because there says the Lord, the God of Israel, verse 13, there is an accursed thing in your midst. And then this, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take the accursed thing from among you. You're not going to have victory over the enemy until sin gets out of your life. You will have no victory over him until you give him every legal ground in your life. And when the power of God comes and sanctifies you, and through confession and repentance, you literally just say, hey, this is where I am, in confession and repentance, and the power of God sanctifies you, then you can have victory over the enemy, but you cannot fight the enemy with sin in the midst.
Right, right.
And I wonder, maybe the reason we're not effective in our cities or in our communities because there's sin in the body of Christ. And we tolerate it. And again, I have no problem. I'm no problem with the guy who comes off the street. I'm no problem with the drug addict who walks through the door. I love it. But I do have a problem with the guy who's been going to church for 30 years and still living in sin. That's a big deal to God. Why? Because you're called to be sanctified. You're called to be purified. Why? Because we're in a battle. And literally, if you think about it like this, we're a huge army. And if one person in the army says, listen, I'm going to open up the door and I'm going to let the enemy into the camp, it's going to affect the entire army. And we're not going to be as victorious as we possibly could be because we're not living sanctified. And it's not just a one-time event. It's a thing that God continually does in my life. He continually sanctifies me. The fire of God continues to fall on me. That's how we have victory over the enemy. Sanctify yourself. But we realize in the new covenant, you can't sanctify yourself. We tried it. Why? Because we were going to be a holiness movement. So we came up with a list. Don't drink, don't chew. Don't go with the girls who do. Which I don't know why you'd want to go with a girl who chews, but that's a whole other story. And we came with an old covenant mindset. Like we could sanctify ourselves. Like we could mirror the presence of God and the fire of God burning his presence and his fire through our hearts. We couldn't do it. And what we actually did is create religion and lived in a religious box. And we look good on the outside, but on the inside, we're a mess. And we're not having any victory over the enemy, and we're not having any victory in our families. Because my Bible says the kingdom of God is like yeast through the bread. You can't stop it. Why? Because if I carry the presence of the Lord, the enemies melt like wax in his presence. So whatever everybody's addicted to, it doesn't matter. If we can just get the presence of God close to him, it's going to fall. And what if God said, hey, I need a tribe. I think I'll call them Nazarenes. And I need a tribe who believes in sanctification. And what if we were born for this very hour?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because there's about ready to be a movement across America that's going to sweep cities.
That's right.
But you can't go for cities if there's sin in the camp. Right. So God said, hey, I'm going to raise up a tribe who's going to live in a sanctified lifestyle. And they're going to live in sanctification. They're going to live in the fire of God burning through them. And they're going to live in holiness. And they're going to live with the fire of God just inside of them. And I'm going to raise up a tribe. Why? Because I want to take cities. And I don't want sin to come in to try to take over these cities. I want the power of God and the presence of God to be so radical in them that they carry such a presence of God that when they go into the city begins to transform. And what if God wanted to do that in you? And I tell you, we can't take the city. Just me and Pastor Jim. We won't make it. It's way too big. And he's too old. I didn't say that. I can't tell you. It was awesome, though. Here's the good news. Caleb started at 80. There's still hope for some of you. Haggai started at 60. Moses. Abraham started at 100. Although he had like 400 years, kind of, was still pretty young. So listen. Why don't you think we see signs and wonders anymore? Sanctify yourself. For tomorrow you'll see signs and wonders. God's about ready to do a miracle, but I need you to be ready.
Yes.
What if God wanted to do something in our midst? Yes. What if God wanted to heal? What if God wanted to save? What if God wanted to set free? But what if he needed you to sanctify yourself? And it's not sanctify yourself and like, I've got to do these rules. It's sanctify yourself in the sense that I'm going to say yes to God and whatever you want to do in my life. But there are secret patterns. There's things that are hidden that no one knows about. And they're in my life and they're operating in my life. And I don't have victory over specific places of my life because of these patterns and these hidden things. But I would like to tell you, there is a God in heaven who wants to sanctify you, purify you, not by your ability, not by your discipline, not by you trying harder, but by the power of God being baptized in love and baptized in fire. John the Baptist, what did he say? I come baptizing in water, but there's a man who's coming whose sandals I cannot tie, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. What? Because he's going to do something in you. So what's the message tonight? We got to win Selma.
Yes, amen.
Why do you think God put you here? So he didn't put you here just to come and gather on a Sunday or Wednesday. He put you in here because he wants to win this city. He wants to take over this region. God is not a God who'd be like, hey, I just think the promised land will stay there. I'm not going to ever... No, he's a conqueror. He said to man, the dominion is yours. So he's given us dominion over this land. And so you and I have the ability to take dominion over this land. Why? Because we carry the presence of God. So giving you the illustration was the Ark of the Covenant. And so now, listen to this. Moving forward, we are not going to be able to do what we've always done. If we do what we've always done, we'll be dead. We will shrivel up and die. We're already on the way. Shake your head. Because we are. We're dying. So we can't continue to do the same thing over and over. Albert Einstein called that insanity. We got to do something different. We cannot continue. God will not allow the Church of America to continue to wander in a circle. How are we going to step into the promised land? We've got the blueprint. Allow God to sanctify you. Why? Because he wants to do signs and wonders through you. He wants to do the impossible through you. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the demonstration is. He just wants to do it through you. This world is not looking for people who can walk in the natural. This next generation ain't going to settle for anything natural. Because the natural is no bigger than the business principles and the philosophies of this world. The next generation is looking for the authentic. They're looking for the supernatural. They're looking at something that say, wow, Chad, you could have never pulled that off. I know. But the presence of God is living inside of me, and I have clean hands and a pure heart, and he flows in me in a moment, and all of a sudden, as I'm praying for someone, God just gives me word of revelation, and I'm just praying. I don't even know what I'm praying, but I'm praying for him. And all of a sudden, wham, the presence of God comes, and victory comes over the enemy.
Amen.
And what if all of us walked in that? Muncie would be wrecked.
Yes.
And he wants to.
Yes.
He's already revealed all kinds of crazy stuff to me. And I'd love to share it with you. But I can't share it with you until we decide that we're truly sanctified. Because we can't go where we need to go if there's sin in the camp. Because
right.
The enemy will just come around the back door and he'll bam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we got to make a decision. Are we in or are we out? Are we going to accomplish the assignment God's given us, or are we just going to continue to spin our wheels? And so we're moving into this new thing. We're moving into the promised land. We're moving into what God wants to do in city transformation. I just truly believe it. I believe Jonah-type moments. And how are we going to do that? Joshua told us, we're not going to know the way. So our strategies will not work. The worldly wisdom will not work. Are, well, let's just plant more churches. If it doesn't come from God, it's not going to work. The only way, God says, to know where we're headed is we have got to follow his presence. If his presence isn't in it, we don't do it. Because that's the way we're victorious in the land. But how are we going to get into his presence? We got to sanctify. We got to allow God to sanctify us, because when God sanctifies us, then we can actually have victory over the enemy in our own lives, and then we can have victory over the enemy in our family, and then we can have victory over the enemy in our neighborhoods, and then we can have victory over the enemy in the world, and we can have victory in the enemy over what God wants to do. And what if I told you, oh, this is so good. What if I told you in your scroll, God is unlocking and he's been waiting for this moment, this hour, right now, because he wants to do a revival that will sweep through the region. And he's about ready to open up your scroll and the giftings that are anointings that are inside of you, because when the fire of God comes and the presence of God comes in your life, you're totally different and you operate in a whole new supernatural realm because the presence of God is living inside of you. And what if he created you for this moment? And what if, this is so crazy, what if he knit you guys together with different giftings and anointings? And what the enemy does in our life, if the enemy tries to make us insecure and the enemy says, hey, I got to look like Pastor Jim, or I got to look like the pastor's wife. And what if that's not the moment? What if you were created to walk in the presence of God, sanctified by his spirit, not in the world, not of this world, and you are purified by the fire, and God awakens something inside of you that you can walk with, that you can literally march in the army, and you can be effective in the army and bring victory in the battle. Sanctify yourself. And it's not complacency. God said there is no lukewarm. You're cold, you're hot. You're cold, you're hot. You're either cold or you're hot. And in your heart, you know. I can't tell from the outside. I'm not going to try to guess. But in your heart, you know. You know if you're lukewarm. I want to tell you tonight, God wants to sanctify you. And you say, well, I've already been sanctified. Be sanctified again. Oh, you'll love it. Let the fire of God fall on you. Repent from your sin. Come to clean hands. Quit hiding. Come on, quit hiding. What if we all got sanctified tonight? What if we all said, I want more? And it's not a feeling, it's a feeling, right? Sometimes you'll feel stuff. I feel stuff, but it's a feeling. But what if tonight you and I were honest with ourselves? It's just honesty. You know where you are in your life. You know if you're on fire, burning for him, like torch, woo! Or if you're like, well, man, I wish this guy would shut up. Man, how long do we have to be here? You ain't gonna make it. Where we're going, you ain't gonna make it. He ain't going to make it. And what if God wanted to do something in the older generation where they got so fired up with the presence of God that they could hand it to the next generation? And maybe we could actually guide them because we were walking in the presence with them. Because we saw revival fire start in the Nazarene church. Some of you probably saw it start or remember the early days. I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I should probably say early days. Come on. So let's press in tonight. Again, Pastor Jim took the offering early and the worship early, so feel free at any point to be released, okay? So this is your unofficial dismissal. It's unofficial, okay? So if you need to go, feel free. You got young kids, whatever. It doesn't matter, okay? If you need to leave, feel free to leave at any point because we're going to respond. We're going to respond tonight. Come on. Come on up, Trish. That's good. I know you are. Come on. Come on. Who else? Who else tonight? Who else tonight? Come on. I'm just going to start calling some stuff out. If you need victory over it, I want you to come. If you've been struggling with pornography, I want you to come tonight. I want the fire of God to purify you. Come on. We want more. We're pressing in for more, God. If you're struggling with depression and anxiety tonight, I want you to come. If you're struggling with lukewarmness, come. Come on, come. If you can't kneel, come sit on the front row. Come sit on the front row. Come on. Come on, we're asking for more, God. Come on. We're asking for more. We're asking for more. I declare, rise up, O Lord. Rise up, O Lord. Come on, Dad, no more roadblocks. I'm tired of roadblocks. No more roadblocks. I break roadblocks over your people. I break that roadblock in the spiritual authority that has stopped your people from going on. I break the roadblock. Come on, God. Come on, fresh wind, fresh fire. Come on, confession and repentance tonight. God, come on. Give us a cry, God. Give us a cry for our city, God. Give us a cry for our neighbor, God. Come on, start with us. Start with us, God. Come on, give a cry, God. Come on, more, God. We want to see our family saved, God. We're not satisfied with the enemy winning. We're sick and tired of the enemy kicking our butt, God. We're going to declare the presence of God. We're going to declare, rise up, O Lord. Begin to do a work in us, God. Begin to do a work here, God. Do something we've never seen before. A revival that is going to sweep from Harris Chapel into Selma, into Muncie. It's going to bring city transformation, God. We speak it. We declare it, God. Sanctify your people, God. Sanctify your people, God. Sanctify them, God. Cleanse them. Cleanse us. Fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh baptism, God. Come on, God. I bind every blocking spirit that have blocked this church. I bind every blocking spirit that has been blocking your people from going deeper. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I declare the word of the Lord is like a rock. That is like a hammer that's going to break that blocking spirit. And that blocking spirit has been blocking you from going into the presence, from going deeper. And I break it in the name of the Lord. I declare you have no authority over your body, over the body of Christ. We break it right now, God. I break it right now, God. Awaken destinies, God. Come on, sanctify them, God. Come on, God. Sanctify them, God. Come on, more, God. No more hiding. We're not hiding our sin. We're not hiding our struggles. This is a safe place. This is the body of Christ. These are the people who are pouring for us, God. They're pulling for us. So we're not hiding anymore, God. We're not hiding anymore. Sanctify.